Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis back again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its calculating and ranking goodness to help you make your teams better, get ahead in your leagues, and just have a grand old time. And we are so excited to get this show going. We're jumping straight over quarterback, going right to Travis, who has some running back talk for us. What do we got today, Travis?
So got kind of some shenanigans here this week, just because why not? Just got to mix it up every once in a while. And, you know, I think when you guys initially brought me onto the show, it was because you wanted to have somebody that could talk about some college players, some incoming rookies. And this is the perfect time of year for that, right? We've got all these rookies about to join the league, whether it's, you know, the stud wide receiver group, the somewhat disappointing running back group. So I think I decided to kind of lean more into the Devy and college football side of things with how I was going to frame things today with the shenanigans. So I'm always curious a year out, you know, like once we get like a month before the draft, everyone kind of has their takes. They have like their favorite rookie running backs, their favorite rookie, whatever. But when you're talking about like predicting the future, and maybe you're in Devy leagues, or maybe you're just trying to value future classes and you're thinking of trading out of this class for rookie picks because you really need running backs, or you're trading back, you know, trying to add value in future picks. And so gauging the quality of play at specific positions in future drafts can be key in finding an advantage. Because a lot of people, when I was doing a bunch of normal dynasty leagues, I realized, man, nobody actually pays attention to college football among dynasty fantasy circles for the most part. Some people do, like if you play in college to Kenton leagues, campus to Kenton leagues like I do. But for the most part, it's a lot of NFL-centric stuff, and people don't even look at rookies until like January, February. And that's okay. It's just there's a real edge if you understand next year. And
I want the Ohio State running back next year.
Well, there's two of them, so you're in luck. There's more than one.
That's why I said it.
I know, exactly. See, John knows what he's talking about.
No, I only know those two.
Can you name both of them, though? Do you know both?
Yes, I can. Okay. Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, right?
There we go. Now name one more college running back real quick.
I don't know. Those are the two best, so I don't care. I should be.
There's some guy that goes by Rocket.
There's some guy that went from, yes, there is a guy named that goes by Rocket. There was a guy that went from like Ole Miss to Georgia.
Ole Miss to Ohio State was Quinshon, but Trevor Etienne went from Florida to Georgia. So
it's the Etienne that went from Etienne's little brother. That's right. I knew it was SEC school to SEC school.
Yeah.
How did parents name their kids Trevor and Travis? Like,
I don't know.
Mine and my brother's names are nowhere close to each other. My mom screwed them up all the time.
A lot of people name their kids very close names.
Yeah, I know. I
think you're the strange one, Russ.
I intentionally did not do that with both my sons. But anyway, this is the naming advice for children podcast. Yeah. Welcome. Yes.
All right, running backs.
Running backs. Okay. Let's first off look at how the current class this year is viewed. There's not a single, and according to the calculator, there's not a single running back in this class that's even viewed above like the 2.03. So I'm curious. First off, we'll start this just to kind of gauge value for you guys. Your running back one, whether that's Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Braylon Allen, whoever it is, your running back one, or like a random second round pick in next year's draft.
I mean, I'll take my running back one in this class over something random next year. So I did a one QB mock on Dynasty Sanctuary yesterday. Oh, yeah. And the first, well, there was a huge running back run the end of the first, beginning of the second. And again, one QB, so add 4-ish picks to talk super flex. That being said, you know, what we're calling a deep class, if we're talking the 201, 204 versus a random next year, which, I mean, there's supposed to be a lot of good running backs in next year's class, but, you know, not having a lot of good quarterbacks definitely hurts the depth of a super flex draft, especially, and not having 18,000 really good gigantic wide receivers also hurts the depth of a class. So I think I would rather take the now as opposed to the random next year.
Same for you, John?
Yeah, I mean, if you could tell me it's the 201 for sure, or the 202, like,
yeah, that always changes.
Then I'll take one more step. I wanted to start with the softball. Yeah. Okay, like, let's just say a, you know, projected kind of champion late first, or you're for next year, or you're running back one in this class.
I'll take the first.
Yep. I mean, I'll probably take the first two just because there is a very good chance, especially again, we always talk super flex because that's mostly what we play. And that's pretty much what we talk to. And it looks like there's a good chance that if a running back is taken in this class first, it's going to be really far towards the back anyway. So, you know, if I'm not thrilled with who that running back is, just give me the first, you know. I would love to wait the NFL draft to make this decision to see like if Dallas takes one in the first or second, like something weird like that. But for now, yeah, just give me the first.
Interesting. You too, John?
Yeah, I definitely would.
All right, that's interesting.
First is greater than any of the.
But early projected second next year, that's fair value to you guys, something like that?
Basically, usually, like, I mean, when you're. Let's say, like, let's take position and all of this stuff out of it. If you're at the 110, 111, and you want to trade back and you want to trade out, you're pretty much trading for a random first, and maybe you get a late second or a third thrown in. You know, you don't usually get much added on top of a future first to trade out of this year's first. So, I mean, that's pretty much exactly what we're talking about. So that's fine if you want to just move back a year.
Okay. The reason I ask is because the next year's class, I know it's a lot to predict and project, but I will say that we've gotten a lot better at doing so in terms of gauging future talent of classes. Like, for instance, this year, like of the like 24, based on like last year's mock draft data, even not even my own personal rankings, but like even like the 30 or so mock drafts that came out around this time last year, of like the 24 prospects who actually ended up declaring from that group, 16 of them are still projected first round picks a year ahead of time. Like we're getting a lot better at understanding future class depth at the very top. And even if you expand even further and go to like the top 100 players that were most mock drafted, even like last April, May, June, the people who are living in the weeds of this kind of space, they're of the players that declared are all still like top 60-ish kind of players. And in many cases, the vast majority, 2/3 or more. And so understanding the depth and breadth of classes, we've gotten a lot better at that. So knowing that, you can kind of look ahead and see that there's a lot of disagreement at the top of the quarterback draft. And so like the depth, you mentioned the super flex that we generally play in here. There's not as many quarterbacks next year. And so in many cases, you're going to be looking at losing out on a Trevion Henderson. Like, you're not going to get a running back one next year in next year's draft for these kind of that kind of price, like the equivalent of a running back one this year at all. In fact, you might be looking at the running back five or later next year if you're going to even get a, you know, a late first or an early second. So equivalent, you know, it's an insert kind of names that might be gone already. You're talking about both those Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, the Ohio State running back duo that should go off this year. You might miss out on Nick Singleton out of Penn State. You might miss out on, you know, and Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State, who had 2,000 yards from scrimmage. You might miss out on even Travis Etienne's younger brother, depending on how things go for him at Georgia this year. And so you might be looking at, you know, you miss out on the running back one from this class, and that they're probably going to be in the, you know, pick 50 to 60 range of capital, and might be left at, you know, reaching for, you know, round three running back next year, or a wide receiver in a class that's not as deep just because of the depth of next year's class versus this one. That's why I ask the question. And so just because I think people need to understand that there's definitely not like returning assets at quarterback, players at quarterback of the same caliber that we just had this past year. Like, there's no Caleb Williams, there's no Drake May even. And like, there's going to be some sort of a late emerging J.J. McCarthy. Is going to be some stud that goes off and is, you know, next year's Jaden Daniels. But there's not going to be the same depth, six guys in the conversation for first round picks. And if you're saying, well, what about Shudor Sanders? Profile wise, he doesn't even sniff anywhere close to be considered a first round prospect. And we can get into that on a later podcast. But that's why I asked, because the depth of next year's class at running back if you're like, well, I'll just punt next year, I'll trade out and try to get, you know, acquire some picks and reposition myself. The running backs are just going to go earlier in leagues next year. So, so I just wanted to ask about that specifically. But
well, if those running backs were in this class, they'd go earlier too, though.
Yeah, they were. They would.
I mean, if Henderson would have declared, he'd be up in that top seven tier.
Yeah, he would have been considered the running back one almost assuredly ahead of one Trey Benson. However, you are going to have to wait one more year. So I will ask, and you guys might not be super familiar with all these players, but let's just say next year, like let's just say your running back. Who are your running back ones right now, by the way?
Like rookie running back one?
Yeah, this year, this class.
Don't care. It's probably Benson. I'm literally not. If I'm not taking any running back before all of the wide receivers, Bowers, and the quarterbacks that I like are gone. So that's four quarterbacks. That's probably, you know, one tight end, that's five. There's probably eight or nine wide receivers that I'll take before I take any running back. So like, I'm not looking at any, I don't care who the running back one is. I'm not going to get the running back one in any league because I'm not going to take a running back until like 205 or 206 anyways. So like, it's just never going to fall to me. It doesn't even matter.
Interesting.
It's probably Benson, like, but
yeah,
I have no real argument.
With things being as flat as they are at running back, I think too much of it's going to count to landing spot for who I actually care
that's
enough
what
to
be. Said. Dallas's draft pick.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chargers draft pick.
Yeah, there's no super. Yeah, Gus Edwards is just going to ruin it like he always does. So I don't have any super strong feelings about any of these running backs, except, you know, give me, I'll always put a little extra weight on a Wisconsin running back because Wisconsin running backs always are Wisconsin running backs. And, you know, give me some Clemson baby, even though he's a running back. Will Shipley, nice pass catcher, but not, yeah. He's not going to be.
Who's yours, Travis?
Running back one.
Our running back one this year is Trey Benson. I believe that his overall profile athletically, he's not recovering from an injury like Jonathan Brooks is. He did have severe injuries early in his career, but he's actually verifiably, objectively a better athlete now than he was even prior to that. Wild, but the testing confirms this. So I think to me, I have no problem saying that Trey Benson is my clear running back one in this class. And to me, I would prefer him to, you know, waiting a year, especially given the shelf life. But let's just say, you know, Trey Benson for you guys versus Trevion Henderson, because we're waiting another year. There's injury risk. Even if Trevion Henderson is perceived to be a superior prospect, I'm just curious where you guys land with that.
Team dependent, but it's probably Henderson most likely. Like if I really, really need the running back, would I feel comfortable saying I'm giving up Trevion Henderson, which is probably like the 103 to like 104-5 next year? Like if we are already ranking them and I had the next year's first round picks, like would I feel comfortable giving that up for Benson? No. So I would go fill my running back elsewhere and just wait a year and then get Trevion Henderson and be pretty happy.
Yeah, especially with so much unknown. I exactly what John just said. I'll find a cheap way to fill running back for a year and hold on to pretty much the equivalent of a pretty early first at this point, what it seems like it will need to be to get Henderson. I'm with John.
Okay.
Like okay, desperation well, move, I can understand it, but that feels like the moving up to the late first to then take your running back one. Just to get them, and then it's who were all those ones that have busted at the pick of 112 and 111 over the years where people just really felt like they had to get a running back.
Yeah. Are there any other running backs, or would you say, hey, look, running back two for next year's class versus Trey Benson? Would that change your answer at all, given that, you know, we're talking about a, you know, Quinshon Judkins, his teammate. We're talking about maybe the Nick Singleton, really athletic, but struggled with efficiency on the ground last year.
I told you I wanted the Ohio State running backs as soon as you started this conversation. So I want both of them over any running back in this class.
Okay.
After that, then that's probably where I'm like, sure, I'll take the production this year right now, especially if he gets a good landing spot. Like, that's value I can flip right away and maybe get back to the point where I can get Quinshon Judkins next year or Travion Henderson. So for me, it's those two. Like I said, I'm with the Ohio State running backs.
Yeah, it's a very different conversation in season when points matter. Like right now, you know, there's no reason for me to lose any value whatsoever. But like if we're in season, Trey Benson is scoring points and all of these nice things that we need him to be, it would be a very different conversation. Like John said, like when it comes down to, oh, I am competing and I want to be scoring points. Yeah, maybe it's worth the risk to give up the next year's pick to get the points right now. But in April, there are none of those happening. So, you know, I'm going to stick with whatever the higher value is. And right now, I think, again, because we're talking about what seems like will be a pretty early 25 first, I'll hold on to the first instead of a late first, early second this year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, last piece to the running back shenanigans. I know this is not our normal format, but this will feel more so. And related to where we just landed, I wanted to ask, 2025 mid-first pick, potential running back one type range, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, you know, whoever asserts themselves as the running back one or two will probably be available in the mid-range of round one next year, if that's your need. And again, of course, with the first, you could also just use that on a wide receiver. You could use it on a quarterback. There are other directions to go, and almost assuredly you're getting a player with like first round real NFL draft capital. So 2025 mid first round pick for rookie drafts, or a list of just three running backs. And I know you guys love running backs. I love so much. So I'm not sure if this is going to be
probably going to be pick.
But we'll see here. I know there are players that you guys like and should be productive this year. First on the list, we have Rashad White. Second, we have Saquon Barkley. And third, Josh Jacobs. So with the 2025 mid first round rookie pick.
I'm probably giving the pick for all of them, because if I'm giving a pick for a running back, my assumption is I'm not finishing in the middle. I am playing to win. And so I expect that what is currently a mid first by the end of the year, partially because of the running back I just added, will end up being a later first, and then it will not hurt my soul as much. And if it goes the other way, I feel terrible.
One
that's
injury
the gamble happens. We play when you take running backs and you gamble with your future firsts.
So you'd always take the first over all.
I mean, if I'm trading my 2025 first for a running back, I'm doing that under the very clear direction that I am going to try and win this year and make my 2025 first not mid. It might be mid right now, looking at my team versus other teams. But if I'm making that move now, which I'm not, like there's no reason for me to make that move in April. November is go acquire running back season for me. So, and I will still have my 2025 first. That's when I will feel way better. But if forced to make the decision now, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it to win. And my first is going to go down in value.
Yeah, running back conversations with John and I involved get pretty boring. Everything he just said, yeah.
Interesting. So I will say the calculator has a 2025 mid-first, just over 15 points in Superflex, tight end premium, PPR, like a 12-team format league. And it would actually rank it that random first just ahead of Josh Jacobs. However, it would be like a full 5 points below Rashad White and Saquon Barkley. Like if you guys ranked the running backs with the first, I mean, it sounds like you're first, the first. And then after that, who would you even consider that for next?
Like running back wise?
Yeah. And in the order of those three running backs, Rashad White, Saquon Barkley, and Josh Jacobs.
Do I rank those three running backs? I'm probably going Saquon, Jacobs, White.
Interesting.
Just not even about talking. Yep.
It's the same thing, Russ.
Yep.
Saquon, Jacobs, White. The calculator has White.
I like White. Barkley. I like them all. This is a group, and little trio of running backs I like.
Yeah. And it's interesting. They're both, all three in between, like, you know, age 25 and 27, you know, productive kind of apex of their careers. perhaps. It might be coming to a close sooner for a couple of them, but I don't know.
$2025 first isn't a bad price for them. Don't let anybody think I'm saying that's a bad price for them. It's just it's a too early to spend price.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the major takeaway. Future first for running backs in season when you need them. That's not really something you do now.
You don't know who's going to get hurt, who's going to get arrested between now and kickoff. Like
this is why I want to have the conversation, because there are going to be offers thrown out there as players try to reposition themselves ahead of rookie drafts and after the draft, and trying to sell to get certain players and make the roster better. So just wanted to I thought that it might go that direction, especially when firsts are involved. But knowing that next year's class, you might miss out even on a handful of the top running back options for next year, and that it might not necessarily on paper look like it's going to be a deeper or as deep a class next year versus this one. Just overall, I just was curious where you guys would land. But yeah, so that's all the shenanigans I had at running back. That wasn't too crazy, but I just wanted to kind of throw a curveball and look ahead to next year.
Well, Travis, when it comes to running backs, I wouldn't say I've ever been missing out.
Yeah.
I never feel like I miss out on a running back. I just don't
care. Yeah. It's yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move on to something we all care about, and that's wide receivers.
Yeah. And it better be a good one.
Yeah.
It is. And it's something that I need help. You know, I have so many shares, and
it's Keenan Allen.
Who needs help with Keenan Allen? You have Keenan Allen on your team. You score points. That's all that matters.
It's true.
So many shares because I loved this guy and he has a fantastic name. So it made me draft him even more, and has a great season, gets hurt, and then the team goes ahead and trades for Steph Diggs. And I have no idea what to do with Tank Dell anymore. And the part that concerns me is more than like, okay, so yeah, Diggs tailed off at the end of the last two seasons, which is usually kind of something you see when players get a little older. But there's, part of it seems like he was unhappy in Buffalo for a long time. So maybe he just sort of, whatever. I'm not ready to call him cooked yet, I guess is what it comes down to, Diggs still. And Diggs has a pretty deep average depth of target. Tank Dell has a deeper depth of target than Nico Collins did, well, both did, not does, last year. So I'm kind of worried, but I have no idea how to really value Tank Dell. But then I put him in the calculator, and he's worth 14.8, which is the equivalent to the 111.
Oh, my God. I'm dead.
I was not ready for that at all.
Tank Dell greater than 111 for me. Like, the 111, I'm looking at Adonai Mitchell, maybe? I was
literally thinking A.D. Mitchell, like, yeah. Exactly that kind of player. Like, you're already in, all right, well, this guy isn't going to be a 1A territory. Like,
yeah. So or like an Xavier Worthy, who actually profiles, yeah. Like, as
oh, this, he's going so much earlier.
Speedier guy, and I don't know. It's funny that the difference in opinion on him specifically in, like, fantasy versus real draft. Like, real draft people have been super slow on coming around on Worthy, but I feel like it's finally getting there with real draft. But either one versus Tank Dell is interesting. We are quick to forget that, Tank Dell did have like 7 targets a game last year, which was pretty wild. And he did have, 7 touchdowns and 700 plus yards and in just 11 games. And that's promising. But yeah, I'm not anywhere near the 111 for him anymore, given Diggs and Collins. And Collins is probably, even before this, was probably the wide receiver 1 projection this year. It might still be, depending on which version of Diggs we get. So, yeah, that, I don't know. I'm nowhere near that 111.
Ooh, you're taking the 111 over
Dell?
Over Dell.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll take Tank Dell.
Yeah, I'm taking Tank Dell pretty easily, and I wish I had more time because I'm in a Superflex ADP mock, and of course you can't filter by free agents, but man, I want to be able to go sit here and count to see how far down we go before we hit that like 11, 12 to see what players were taken around there. But man, like it just seems like we've seen Tank Dell do it already. but it's nice to have a different opinion.
Yeah. Because I like I just said, we just saw him, but at the same time, like it, you're getting a first round wide receiver at the 111, probably.
They could even turn into Tank Dell production.
And I think we've already seen the best of Tank Dell ever in his NFL career.
Okay.
That is possible.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, let's just go on to my list then, because
the real answer is what you should do with Tank Dell, Russ, is go get CJ Stroud.
Yeah, remember the real lone winner of that situation with CJ Stroud. Except, I don't know if you've been keeping your eyes on Twitter, but according to Keep Trade Cut, Stroud is now the QB1.
KTC is not DTC, so
they're
the literal worst anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave it at that. Yeah, that Travis is right.
I said it with a grin on my face, but yeah. Yes. Clearly that is right, but you know, CJ Stroud is so expensive, and it's not even really like it's not worth trying at this point unless you're willing to, you know, give up your firstborn, which I totally am. He's a pain in the butt. Someone can definitely take him and give me CJ Stroud. Ugh, but okay, so my list, it's pretty short, and I didn't rank anything yet, so I'm curious to see how this goes. So Tank Dell, Nico Collins, George Pickens, and Jaden Reed.
That's a pretty evil list right there.
Pickens is my bottom. That's easy. He's number four on the list. Man.
That is difficult.
I have no idea what to do.
I think I go Jaden Reed first. And then it's really just a coin flip for the Houston receivers.
No, I need an answer, because that was part of the reason I did put both of them on here.
What does it matter? Just get whichever one you can for cheaper.
I would go Nico Collins, and then I would go Jaden Reed, Tank Dell, George Pickens.
So you just put Nico Collins first, and I was not ready for that at all. Does it not concern you that Nico Collins didn't really do all that much until Tank Dell went out?
It does a little bit, but here's where. So what he did after, though,
was he just crushed. Yeah.
Unfreaking believable. And so I think what happens now is, you know, somebody's going to lose some targets to Stephon Diggs, and there's a great chance that it's both. It's both mm-hmm. Collins and Dell. But I think when you look at the profile and style of wide receiver and how they both win, and what's more sustainable, the profile that is more sustainable and has been more sustainable. And Collins, we've seen, you know, shiftier, smaller, fast wide receivers. That's the focal point. And I will always kind of be probably too biased in that direction now, just given how the league is investing in that direction. Even so, Tank Dell has a ridiculous size concerns. So, you know, on the verge of like Tutu Atwell kind of size concerns. It was wild that he did what he did, and he burned everybody at the Senior Bowl last year. And so we kind of should have probably seen it coming. Like CJ Stroud wanted him specifically. Seems like they have a good relationship. But I also look back at history and see certain kind of profiles that do a certain thing in year one. And we see a lot of players that have done it. Something similar, not as quite as, you know, there were a few games stretch where Tank Dell was just going off like crazy. But all in all, he had what on the year 709 receiving yards, which that's cool. That's nowhere near like Puka territory. Like Puka, like we're projecting he's going to be an absolute special player. We've seen a lot of guys kind of like come into the league and flash some kind of interesting upside that we didn't expect, whether in their mid-round guy. They might be a little scrawny and they have some speed. Like, do you guys remember Darius Slayton's rookie year? Slayton. Yeah, he was actually really good. But then, you know, we realized he wasn't that good. Like,
the value of elite first, and I didn't trade him enough.
Right. And so, yeah, and in this case, Tank Dell is valued more so than a late first for you guys, and probably in many cases, consensus. And yet, I'm not saying he's going to be Darius Slayton, but like that's just a more recent example. But this happened all the time in like the early 2010s. I think back to like Eddie Royal. Like, do you remember when he came into the league and then, you know, flamed out? You know, we want to think that they're always going to kind of pop and go off. Like Greg Little's another good one. Like 2011, like we thought he was going to be a thing.
90% of the Jaguars receivers that ever did well.
Right, Chris Gibbons. I don't know. Like there's other guys who did kind of like similar flashes. Keelan Cole, even he was a little bit different because he was like an undrafted guy. But there have been a bunch of players who like flash like crazy out the gate, and then we realized, okay, they're not as special necessarily as we thought they could have been. And so if I'm going to trade up for a first round player, and whether that's, you know, Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell or somebody that's going to go in the pick 20 something range in the real NFL draft, most likely with 111, I'm going to go with that and trade into a profile that I think is more productive long term and isn't immediately buried behind Stephon Diggs and maybe Nico Collins.
I have no idea what to do. All right. Well, I mean, this didn't help at all. I don't know why I ask you people things.
I'll put Tank Dell too if you want, really. I'm just going to choose the guy with the cooler first name and the double L in his last name.
I mean, that's why I
drafted either.
Analytics right here with John.
They're both very cool names. Now, if you force me to choose, I'll probably choose Tank over Nico.
Yeah, my draft strategy was to make sure I left last year's rookie drafts with two tanks. So, I mean, analytic, yeah, hashtag analysis. I'm going to put Jaden Reed first because I like him, and he is the main. I mean, they spread the ball a lot in Green Bay, but I still think he's the best wide receiver on that team. And that offense is now going to get better because they'll have a running game. I'm still putting Tank Dell second over Nico Collins. I don't know, but I like him better. And I'm always very wary means worried, right? Yeah, weary is tired. I'm wary of players who just break out after another player gets hurt. You know, I get it. It might be real. Maybe that's just the motivation they needed, whatever. But like, Dalton Kincaid needed Dawson Knox to get hurt, and that's weird. But that's not the point. But I'll still put Tank Dell second, Nico third, George Pickens fourth. I'm interested to see what happens with George Pickens with a real quarterback, because he did really, really well last year with crap. And I know Russell Wilson isn't Russell Wilson. He's not Mr. Unlimited anymore. There you go. But still, he's better than anything George Pickens has played with.
Nico Collins might be the odd man out, too, at the end of this year.
He also might be gone at the end of this year. So
yeah. So yeah, that looking up the contract, that makes it real easy for me, because this is probably his last year in Houston.
Yeah, because he'll get paid. All right. So we have tight end talk, which I'm excited about.
Why?
Because it's been 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks since we talked about Kyle Pitts.
We're not talking about Kyle Pitts. That's obviously the real answer, as always. Go get the good tight ends. Well, your league doesn't let you get a good tight end. Nobody is going to let that happen because they've got theirs and they realize they can't replace them. Or they're with that person, me, that has stashed two of them and just wants to hoard them both. And every week have a nice advantage against half the league.
Yep.
So we're getting desperate. Like, you got to find a tight end. You got to put somebody in there to start. And I looked up Michael Mayer on the calculator. I was curious what his value was. Before I give you the value, what do you think? What do you think, like, pick-wise, where he is equal to? I've obviously set this up that he's cheaper than...
I was already thinking probably mid-second at this point, mm-hmm. which is probably optimistic.
I'll say like 2.0. I'll just say on the back half. I'll say 2.07, 2.07.
Comes in at the 2.06.
I was going to say 2.06. Yeah.
That feels extremely affordable.
Again, one quarterback mock, which is the smallest of small sample size, that just doesn't even completely fit what we're talking about. I get the Jatavion Sanders, is
stop.
That
stop, that's not the question yet.
But I know, I'm just saying, I drafted him at like the last pick of the second round in a one quarterback. So
wow,
just
you went that little, oh, man.
That's how far he fell. So just putting a little perspective on what the tight end two in this class.
Yeah. So you're on the clock at the 206 in a super flex, because that's what we talk about on this show.
Yep.
Super flex 206. You don't have hits. You didn't get Bowers in this draft. You couldn't manage to get up there to do it. You're at the 206. You need a tight end on your roster. Kelsey, you don't have him anymore. You don't have one of those top tight ends. You're staring down the barrel of streaming tight ends and throwing in like Isaiah Likely here. Maybe you're hoping for that Greg Dulcich bounce back, or maybe this is the year that Chig takes off in Tennessee. Like that's your roster. Like there are rosters out there that have those tight ends. Like, you know, that tight end group exists on rosters.
Absolutely.
206, and somebody offers you Michael Mayer for the 206 because they want to come up and get a running back that was their running back one that is still sitting there at 206. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think I keep the pick at that point, because Michael Mayer for that level of asset isn't going to go away anytime soon, especially not by the time the season starts. So I don't feel like if I need to do that right now. There's going to be plenty of players of his level for that price that, like, if I'm completely disenchanted with everyone that's on the board at the moment, sure. Yeah, especially if there's any sort of tight end premium going on.
Well, yeah, mostly all super flex tight end premium, but...
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking through process in my brain. I mean, right now, Minshew's the quarterback there, I think. And
I'm actually okay if Minshew's the quarterback there. That'd be fun.
Yeah, no, like, legitimately, I'm okay with that. Give me the rookie. I know. Yeah,
I think this is the right price, actually.
It's absolutely the right price.
Absolutely the right price. I barely lean the pick, the 2.06.
Yeah.
Like, when I was thinking, like, through... I was just kind of going through my rankings. Like, in this class, at that point, in most Superflex drafts, unless there's something wonky with the landing spots with the quarterbacks, all six of the quarterbacks could be off the board. And, like, seven wide receivers, running back, maybe eight wide receivers, running backs one, two, and I don't know. You could still probably get, like, a round two wide receiver, or your running back two or three in that range, or your one. So I think I go with the rookie.
Yeah, it needs to be an on the board thing for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, in the scenario where I laid it out, where I need that tight end, I'll probably take Mayer. If during the draft, even though I said I don't care about any of the running backs, like, let's say something weird happens and there are two running backs that get taken ahead of Benson, and Benson somehow manages to start falling into the second. Like, Mayer is the kind of tight end that I'm going to be trying to push to that manager to then get into that second round, because he was a first round pick last year in a lot of things, or like the 201. So he's a name people know. In that case, I think I go the other way. If I am then going out and seeking, you know, Benson, something like that. I mean, so I think it is the fair value.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about the list, because it is sadness, just sadness. This value of tight end, we have Michael Mayer, Dalton Schultz. He might still get a catch. It might be for a touchdown each week. Or each week he gets a catch, it might be for a touchdown, I should say. Pat Freiermuth. Or the rookie Jatavion Sanders. So
yeah, I was like, yeah, I was gonna ask about him, but no, you just tell me to stop again.
This is the list of these four guys are all in a nice little cluster of value.
Okay, Michael Mayer, Pat Freiermuth, JT Sanders, and what was the other one?
Yeah, exactly, Dalton Schultz.
Oh,
but yeah, who was the other one? It's kind of how I feel about Schultz on the list at this point.
I mean, mine's pretty easy.
Go for it.
As of right now, I think I would take Mayer over Sanders. Though Sanders, I know we're tight ends. We really seem to care more about athleticism than anything else. And Mayer is not that guy. But we've seen Mayer have some pretty good games in the league. And he was never thought to be that athletic of a guy. But he was, like, I always just consider him like Jason Witten, the kind of guy that will be steady enough and to be a top 12 tight end, because he'll just keep catching a couple of balls every single game. So I'll take that first because it's a little bit known, and Sanders second because of how athletic he is. And it's still a little exciting that he's a rookie and we don't know where he is and all of that. I put Schultz third over Muth. I'm disenchanted with Muth at this point. I know he finally gets a new quarterback and everything, but he was also supposed to be, you know, Jason Witten plus. Like, he was supposed to be a little better than that in my mind. And I love me some Penn State pass catchers, but he doesn't seem to matter much anymore. But like you said, at least Schultz, even though it's insanely crowded, has a good game every once in a while. And there's always, he's on a better offense, so better chance of production.
Travis?
I've always been higher on Schultz than like everyone. So sorry. I actually, I don't know, even when he was in Stanford, I was like, he should go earlier than he did. He wasn't like a lights out athlete himself either, but he just got a new contract for 3 years and it's basically guaranteed for two to kind of be productive in the prime of his career. So I'm going to go with him first. I mean, like, he's got four seasons in a row over 600 receiving yards in the NFL, and Mayer has not done that yet. I think he definitely could. But I'm actually going to go JT Sanders second. And it's really close between him and Schultz, and Mayer's third. And Freiermuth is a clear four for me at this point. I'm not really about Freiermuth at this point. I will say, you know, there have been in the history of the NFL, and this is just kind of like this is not a meaningful statistically, you know, like, there's not statistical signal about this threshold I'm using here. But in NFL history, there's been 38 instances of a rookie tight end eclipsing 500 receiving yards. And in the last, like, 7 years since 2017, that's happened 8 times. Like, we're seeing more and more rookies get, you know, early market share numbers. And we can basically lock in Brock Bowers to be this year's version. But we've seen it happen multiple times on 3 occasions. And I think if there's going to be a tight end too that breaks out and has immediate production right away in this class, it's going to be JT Sanders. And I think that whoever's drafting him, there's several tight end needy teams, several that have met with double digit tight ends, and like formally with pro days and interviews and all sorts of stuff that I've been tracking. And there's going to be a team that needs him to produce immediately. So I think I lean JT Sanders in a number of landing spots as my second option there. So yeah, Schultz barely over Sanders just because he's proven and in his prime, and then Mayer, and then Muth.
I have Schultz last. He was actually the impetus to me going and looking at this little block of tight ends, and I was like, Mayer seems like the more interesting one to present, even just because I'm kind of done on Schultz. I don't know that he is able to out-earn targets versus the rest of that offense. Mix in running back as well. Like, this is a good offense start to finish. I think he does get kind of lost. And I don't feel, I'm just out on him. I can see the argument for him over Freiermuth because that whole offense might just be complete dumpster fire. So it may at least maybe get the tight end that's the same-ish on a better offense. I can see that argument. No real problem there. Travis kind of makes me want to take Sanders over Mayer. I have Mayer ranked first, but not kidding. I kind of get excited about those rookies. And when Travis talks about JT Sanders, makes me want to move him. But for now, I'm going to keep Mayer above him. We'll see where he goes. I'm interested to see where Sanders goes.
All right, and I'm interested to say we are now closing down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Travis May at FF_TravisM. Ring the bell. We are out of here.